Hello, hello, everyone. We are live. Yep, today is May 14th, 2025, and we are back from Arkansas. So we just returned from Arkansas last night, had a wonderful time at Engage Ministries tent event. Don A. Clement was there, Pastor Greg Locke was there as well. Pastor Vlad was there, except unfortunately me and Pastor Vlad didn't get to see each other because he was in the first day. And by the time I had come in, I think he left, but he was there too. So we had a wonderful time there, but we're back now. So praise God, we're back. We're getting right back into it. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us tonight. I see people coming in from Canada. Hello to our neighbors in Canada, from California, from Texas. Let's see, Tennessee, Scotland. Hello to our international audience coming in. Australia, welcome, welcome. South Carolina, California, Wisconsin, Oregon, New Jersey. We're coming to New Jersey actually next week, so we'll be talking about that later on in the broadcast. Vegas, Wisconsin, Florida, Southern California, Indiana, Charleston, South Carolina, Kansas City, Ontario, Canada. You're all pouring in. Hello, hello to everybody jumping in. We're so happy to have you. Our moderators, our Ark of Grace team, thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. Well, we have quite a bit to get into tonight. This is going to be interesting because we are talking about Babel and bringing down altars and how that is connecting today. If you think it's not, wait till you see some of this because it is completely connected. What went on back then to what we're seeing happen now. Remember, the foundation for the New Testament is the Old Testament. Without an Old Testament, there's no New Testament. So if you can't understand the Old Testament, there is no way you're going to understand clearly and concisely what is happening in the New Testament. So this is going to be prophetically charged, and we're going to get into this in a few moments here. We're going to open up in prayer, as always, and then we're going to get right into tonight. And at the end, stay tuned, because we took in two new residents at the sanctuary today. I'll let you put your guesses in the chat throughout the broadcast for who they are. One is a boy, one is a girl. We're going to announce at the end who the two newest residents of Ark of Grace Sanctuary are, and we're going to show you pictures of them. So please stay tuned for that. So let's open up in prayer, and then we will get into tonight. So Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day, Father. Lord, we praise you. You are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up, far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise through your precious holy name. We humble ourselves before you this day, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way we sin and fall short. We all sin and fall incredibly short of the glory of God. Father, we praise you that your mercies, according to your word, are new every single day. We come in to your courts with thanksgiving and with praise. We enter your gates with thanksgiving. We enter your courts with praise, saying, your kingdom come, your will be done, first and foremost on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we just praise you and humble ourselves before you, acknowledging you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth. He was the Word, became flesh. He dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And at Calvary, that blood dripped onto the mercy seat. It purchased us. It redeemed us. It reconciled us back to our Father in heaven. It made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation. When Jesus Christ, Yeshua, said, from Calvary, it is finished. And he miraculously rose again in 3 days. He ascended back into heaven after appearing to many, took his rightful victorious place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the name above all names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our advocate without ceasing before your throne. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ, Father. That is in your word, Lord. He is our advocate. He is the door to you. He is the one in whose garments we are literally sneaking in under, Father God, in order to be presented before you, Father God. And Lord, we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise for that, Father God. We welcome your presence in, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence. Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, into this place, Father God. Lord, let the weight of your glory and your power fall. Let it saturate the atmosphere, Father God. Lord, let your presence mightily move as we go forth tonight, that the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, would go forth and be the counselor, Father God, and go forth and minister, Lord, to those who are watching, Father. Lord, fill us in the name of Jesus Christ with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord, Father God. Order our words, order my words, Father God. Order our steps tonight, order my steps. Be our front and rear guard, Father God, as we go forth tonight. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. And allow me, Father God, and our team, the humble privilege, Lord, of being vessels of your power. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Father God, of your word, of learning from your word, and of being counseled by the Holy Spirit, Father God. We praise you for that this day, Lord. And in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, hindrance, interference, violence, slander, intimidation, bullying, threat that the enemy, satanic agents, unclean spirits, and dark forces would attempt in any way, shape, or form, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we command it dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, dismantled, canceled, rendered powerless, and cast out in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, to not return or have anything sent in its place, Father God, and be sent to areas you have designated for such, Lord. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter, we're most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, every breath we take is because of you. Everything we have is because of you, Father God, because without your life breathed into us, we would not even have life, Father God. And we praise you for that, Lord. And we give you all the glory for that. We say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, Father, Lord. We bless your holy name, Father God. Your word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, Father God. We give you all the glory today, Father. We seek you, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I felt that. Praise the Lord. Okay. So welcome to everybody who is jumping on during prayer. What a wonderful way to start things off. A couple things. So we have a lot prophetically to get into tonight about Babel, altars coming down, how it's connected today, what's happening today that connects this. If you think it's not connected, oh boy, is it. And wait till you see how it's connected. So if you could share this broadcast right now, we would very much appreciate it. Like and subscribe. It is a blessing to us. It helps us very much. So if you could do that, we would very much appreciate it as we go forth tonight. We did get two new residents at the sanctuary today. And at the end of the broadcast, we're going to announce who they are. Two of them came. The Lord is sending pairs. So now he's starting to send them in pairs, many of them. So that happened today. We will show you pics at the end. You could take your guesses in the chat throughout the live tonight about which animals came. One's a boy, one's a girl. So I will give you that hint. And that's all you're getting from me until the end. Also, I have to thank the Givaderm ladies quickly because for Mother's Day, because, you know, I'm like the godmother to their puppies The ladies of Givaderm had all three puppies paw printed and framed and sent it to me with a beautiful card for Mother's Day. So I'm going to be putting these up in my office, but it was so precious and adorable. Millie, Betsy, and Brenda. So that's basically was my Mother's Day gift from the puppies of Givaderm. And I'm so appreciative to them of that. And they also sent a Hobby Lobby gift card, which I thought was adorable as well, because many of you know I love Hobby Lobby and I love to shop there. It's one of the fun things I try to do every now and then when I'm not in the middle of doing everything else we do around here. So I wanted to thank them for that. Okay, so to get into today, we're going to look at Babel in a different way today. We're going, as Toby is in the background right now, he's coming in. We're going to go to Genesis 10, and this is where we're going to start. And I'm going to show you the progression till we get to where we're going on this train today, okay, biblically speaking. So Genesis 10, verses 8 through 10. I just saw iChurch come in, just saw him in the chat. Okay, Genesis 10, 8 through 10 says, Cush became the father of Nimrod. He became a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar, or the valley of Shinar, which was in Babylonia. Now, Cush means hot. So the name Cush means hot, and the name Nimrod means rebel. So the meaning of it together means hot rebel, okay? Hot-headed, hot-blooded, rebel. The word of God says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, right? When you rebel, right? Hot rebel, right? That is what the word of God talks about when Samuel is looking at Saul in that epic account where he basically, Saul tore the part of Samuel, the part of his robe, and Samuel had told him the kingdom had been torn away from him. So Cush means hot, Nimrod means rebel. Now, Nimrod established the first major empire after the flood. So this is post-flood. Noah, his family is protected, right? Noah's relatives begin to procreate, right? His descendants begin to procreate. And this first major empire after the flood centered in the region of Shinar, which is southern Mesopotamia, is basically built up by Nimrod, okay? Now we're going to get into mighty hunter before the Lord because that's not a good thing. That is not what we think it is. And we're going to get into that in a moment. Now, Benson's commentary says this: Nimrod was a mighty hunter in the Septuagint, which has to do with the Jews. It is, he was a giant hunter. The Arabic has it, he was a terrible giant before the Lord. And the Syriac, he was a great warrior. It is probable he began with hunting, and for this became famous to a proverb. He served his country by ridding it of wild beasts and so insinuating himself into the affections of his neighbors. He got to be their prince. And perhaps under pretense of hunting, he gathered men under his command to make himself master of that country. This is the spirit of Antichrist at work even back then. Thus, he became a mighty hunter, a violent invader of his neighbor's rights and properties. That's what that means when it says he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. He was a violent invader of his neighbor's rights and properties. Matthew Henry's commentary says, from such a beginning, it is likely that Nimrod began to rule and to force others to submit. He invaded his neighbor's rights and properties. He persecuted innocent men and endeavoring to make all his own by force. That is the spirit of Antichrist and violence. By force and violence, he persecuted innocent men. He carried on his oppressions and violence and defiance of God himself. That, like I'm saying, spirit of Antichrist. Nimrod was a great ruler. some way or other, by arts or arms, he got into power and so founded a monarchy, which was the terror of the mighty, basically at that time. And he was a builder. So he built many cities as well. So this was the first case of the hunter shall become the hunted. This was one of the first cases of the hunter shall become the hunted because of what happened to Nimrod. So that is the basically precursor to Babel. And then you go to Genesis 11, and we're going to get into today. Just watch. Genesis 11, verses 1 through 2. Now the whole earth spoke one language and used the same words. And as people journeyed eastward, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they settled there. Shinar means to cast out or breach, right? To cast out. What did God do at Babel from before those people? He cast them out. He cast them out and he scattered them. So Shinar means to cast out. Babel breaches the ways of the Lord and his throne, and therefore he cast them out. So that's what's so interesting about Babel being built in Shinar. In verse 2, and as people journeyed eastward, that is actually supposed to be from the east. They journeyed from the east, meaning they journeyed away from the east. The east back then was considered where the Lord was. The Lord was in the east. So to travel away from the east meant they were moving away from the Lord, away from his ways. Now, Shinar was kind of in a valley. And if you notice in scripture, nothing good ever happens in a valley. It's kind of on a plain. Shinar is kind of in a bit of a valley. And I'll give you an example of this, and we'll go right back to Babel. Armageddon itself happens in the Valley of Jezreel. Biblically speaking, you always see these major battles and these catastrophic things happen in valleys. And just to give you a fact about the Valley of Jezreel, during the past 4,000 years, at least 34 bloody conflicts have already been fought at the ancient site of Megiddo and adjacent areas of the Jezreel Valley. The Egyptians, the Canaanites, the Israelites, the Midianites, Amalekites, Philistines, Hasmoneans, Greeks, Romans, Muslims, Crusaders, Mamluks, Mongols, French, Ottomans, British, Australians, Germans, Arabs, and Israelis have all fought and died there. The names of the warring generals and leaders that were there reverberate throughout history. You have Thutmose III, Deborah and Barak, Sisera, Gideon, Saul and Jonathan, Shishak, Jehu, Joram, Jezebel, Josiah, Antiochus, Ptolemy, Vespasian, Saladin, Napoleon, and Allenby, to name but a few of the most famous. So you always see these clashes many times happening in valleys. That's why in Psalm 23, David says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because of what would go on in valleys. I will fear no evil, for you, O Lord, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You give me victory, Lord, in the valley. This is why Jesus Christ is going to return into that valley and defeat the Antichrist and his army, because the table is prepared in the presence of his enemies. So basically, that area, the Jezreel Valley, right? And that area even of Babylon has been ground zero for battles that determine the very course of civilization. So you have also Mount Carmel, where Elijah faced off against the prophets of Baal, is to the west, and it looks down actually upon the Valley of Jezreel. I stood on Mount Carmel in Israel, and I looked right down into the valley where that battle is going to take place. So now, just to give you an idea about valleys in Shinar, right, and that area and the Valley of Jezreel and what's all going on there. So back to Genesis 11, verses 1 through 4. So basically, Genesis 11, 1 through 4, I'm going to read it to you, and I'm actually going to get it up live here because I have 1 through 2. I want to make sure I have 1 through 4 right now. Hold on one second here. Okay, Genesis Wait one second, guys, because my keyboard doesn't want to work for a moment. So we're going to plug it into here and we're going to make sure it works. We're going to make sure. There we go. Okay. Genesis. Oh, it's not responsive. Hold on one second. Hold on. We're going to get it. I might even read it out of my, I have my Bible sitting right here, but we're going to get it. Genesis 11 verses 1 through 4, because I want you to get the whole picture here. Okay, we'll do New King James Version just for the sake of finding it. Okay. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. That's Genesis 11, verses 1 through 4. And in the Matthew Henry commentary, it says, how soon men forget the most tremendous judgments and go back to their former crimes. Though the desolations of the deluge were before their eyes, though they sprang from the stock of righteous Noah, yet even during his lifetime, wickedness increased exceedingly. Now, if you go to verse 4 in Genesis 11, when it says, come, let us build a city for ourselves, not for God, not for the purposes of God, for ourselves, and a tower whose top will reach into the heavens, and let us make a famous name for ourselves so that we will not be scattered. Okay. Now, if you look at this, let us build a city for ourselves, a tower whose top will reach the heavens and make a famous name for ourselves. You can see New York City in the writings of Genesis 11 and Babel. You can see the Freedom Tower and the writings of what was said in Babel. See, because let's build a city, right? Let's build a tower that goes into the heavens, skyscrapers, right? This does happen in other cities in the nation too. And let's make a name for ourselves. What were they doing after 9/11? Let's build the Freedom Tower and make a name for ourselves. Though the bricks have fallen, we will rebuild with hewn stone. Though the sycamores have fallen, we'll replace them with cedars. We're going to build back better. We're going to make a name. We're going to build that tower bigger and higher. You can see the thinking of Babel in what happened in 9/11. You can see the thinking of Babel in New York City and the way it's structured. You can see this if you look back. So what we see in modern day is more influenced by Babel than we think. Let us make bricks and put them in the fire to harden them. In a way, also, when you look at this, Babel is a picture of the kingdom of darkness. It's a hierarchy. It's a hierarchy, and its ultimate agenda, right, was to make a name for themselves by doing it their way, getting around God, getting up into the heavens, basically, to launch a mutiny against God, to try to overtake God so he would not scatter them. Right? Babel was a large altar that man erected to themselves to put them at a better vantage point, to rebel against and maneuver around Almighty God's order. And if you look at Isaiah, you'll see the same wording in a way, the same thinking in Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 17. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. Now he's talking about Lucifer. You have been cut down to the ground. You who have weakened the nations, and in parentheses, king of Babylon. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly. This is what Nimrod was doing. This is why that's that spirit of Antichrist. In the remote parts of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. That's the same argument back at the beginning of Genesis. In the day you eat of it, you will not die. For God knows in the day you eat of that fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will become like God. That is the crux of Satan's argument. I will make myself like the Most High. You know why? Because he will never be the Most High. He will never even come close. So that was the heart posture when Satan fell. And we'll get into back to Nimrod in a minute. But in verse 15, it says, but in fact, you will be brought down to Sheol, to the remote recesses of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew its cities, who did not permit his prisoners to return home? I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. That is what is in Isaiah 14. Now go back to Genesis 11 again, verse 4. Come, let us build a city for ourselves and a tower whose top will reach into the heavens. It will reach above the clouds. And let us make famous a name for ourselves, so they'll be like God, so that we will not be scattered and be dispersed over the surface of the entire earth. Now, so this is definitely from the beginning, that spirit of Antichrist was at work within the earth, and it found a host in Nimrod. Satan found a host in Nimrod. Now, this is where it's going to get interesting. Nimrod marry Semiramis. We're going to get to the part where I'm going to tie this into what we see happening today in the nations, in this nation and in other nations. Nimrod married Semiramis, okay? Semiramis was a prostitute that Nimrod married. She became pregnant after engaging in an adulterous affair while married to Nimrod. Around the same time this happened, Nimrod died violently. He died a violent death and an untimely death. And in an effort to retain power and to hide her misdeeds, Semiramis makes a most audacious claim. Semiramis stands up. She is filled with deception. And she makes a claim that basically what this claim is something that the enemy purposely planted ahead of time in an attempt to get ahead, an attempt to corrupt the coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. She publicly declares that upon Nimrod's death, he had been resurrected as the god of the sun. And as the sun god, the false sun god, Nimrod used his sun rays to miraculously inseminate Semiramis with a child. Immaculate conception. This child was then considered divinely conceived. The counterfeit events of the true divine son, Jesus Christ, in whom Mary conceived. This was the enemy's counterfeit manipulation of his creation that was done around the time of Babel, way before Christ came to the earth. The child's name was Tammuz, which she claimed was a reincarnated Nimrod. That's why in Ezekiel chapter 8, when the Lord says to Ezekiel, come and I will show you even greater abominations in the temple, he says, I saw women weeping for Tammuz, because they were worshiping the counterfeit divine son that Satan had presented forth at the time of Babel that carried in and corrupted Israel. So I'm going to show you the image. One of the images used for Semiramis. We're going to put it up on the screen and I'm going to show you, and you tell me if this looks familiar. You tell me if this image looks familiar, because this image, when Babel fell and they were scattered, was taken into different parts of the earth. This immaculate conception, which was a lie, because only Jesus Christ was immaculately conceived, was taken into the earth. And there's the image of the Queen of Heaven holding the divine son. Where do we see an image like that? Where do we see relics like that? Where do we see relics like that popping up? We see it in numerous religions, including the Catholic Church. They need to cleanse themselves of their relics. Nowhere in scripture does God authorize you to worship a statue of anyone. Nowhere does he authorize you to erect statues of angels, of himself, of Mary. This is not authorized in scripture. And that's what they use. Now this is going to get better. According to another tradition, Semiramis was the daughter of a goddess. She had mermaid-like features with the head of a woman and the body of a fish. Head of a woman, body of a fish. Where have we seen this before? Oh, the Starbucks logo. Head of a woman, body of the fish, crown on top with the star, queen of heaven. The Starbucks logo is Semiramis in a way. It goes back to Babel. This all is not by coincidence, because you have those ancient spirits that were at work back then, getting the people to say, we will ascend ourselves above the clouds. You know, we will, you know, we're going to make our name famous like God. You have those same ancient spirits at work today, marketing it differently to a modern day generation. That's what they're doing. These are very ancient spirits operating in a modern day world, building altars that the church needs to learn how to dismantle, because they will attempt to set them up bearing your name. The kingdom of darkness will attempt to put altars up bearing your name, and they need to be dismantled and destroyed by the fire of God in the name of Jesus Christ. If you think this isn't going on in the kingdom of darkness, in covens, in the occult, it is. And they attempt to allure men into the slavery of Babel, into the slavery of Haman and the gallows. That's what they attempt to do. Pride is the foundation in which all man-made altars are built. The foundation of Babel was pride. We're going to make a name for ourselves. We're not going to do it God's way. We're going to get around God, and we're going to get up there and defeat him so he can't scatter us. The foundation of Haman's gallows was pride. It's the same spirit working in a different generation. The foundation of those who built Babels in this time is pride, and those are toppling in this time. You are watching the very Babels that were built upon the prideful lust of those thirsty for power toppling in this time. If you look at the book of Esther as well, Haman tried to what? Make a name for himself. He tried to ascend. He tried to make a name for himself. He tried to destroy the people of God and make himself famous. He built a 50-cubit, a cubit is from here to here, which is 75 feet, 50 cubits, that high of a gallows to impale Mordecai on, to make a name for himself. It's always at a lofty position when this is involved. Always you'll see something in a lofty position. And I'll read you Esther 5, verse 11 through 14 for a minute. Then Haman recounted to them the glory of his riches, the large number of his sons, and every instance in which the king had magnified him, and how he had promoted him over the officials and servants of the king. Haman also said, even Queen Esther led no one but me with the king to the banquet she had prepared. And tomorrow I'm also invited by her with the king. Make a name for himself. Yet all this does not satisfy me as long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then his wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, have a gallows 50 cubits high made in the morning. Ask the king to have Mordecai hanged on it. Then go joyfully to the banquet. So you're going to try to ascend. You're going to try to ascend against God and his people, and then think you're going to go joyfully to a banquet. And the advice pleased Haman because it was built on pride. So he had the gallows made. When those who have entertained the alluring aroma of power and a name that the enemy has dangled before them, they begin to build from a lofty position. They in their heart have already begun to build Babel. They have already begun to build the gallows. They have already determined their ascension without God. Therefore, in the nature, that kind of nature, they begin to build lofty objects, lofty names, lofty persecutions against God's people in order to position themselves on a high place. So let's take all of this now and look at what's happening today And we're going to talk about prophecy. I'm going to read prophecy. We're going to get into the prophetic word part of it now. Some of it is fascinating, what is happening. So let's put the first news article up. And then we'll talk about it. And this has to do with Miss Letitia James. So if this is what you were waiting for, well, we're getting into this now. Okay. FBI opens formal criminal probe into New York AG Letitia James over alleged mortgage fraud. The FBI and U.S. Attorney's Office in Albany have launched a criminal investigation into mortgage fraud claims against New York Attorney General Letitia James, a source familiar with the probe told the Post. The investigation, first reported by the Albany Times Union, follows a request that the Justice Department investigate James, sent by Federal Housing Finance Agency Director William Pult to the Justice Department last month. Now, this was someone who wanted to make a name for themselves by building a Babel with all their Babel, and then by building a gallows for President Trump and for others. This is someone who wanted to be a mighty hunter before the Lord and persecute and make a name for themselves that way. Now, I'm going to read to you the prophecy having to do with this. February 20th, 2024. For the wicked, the Hamans, the Delilahs have arisen and have attempted to lynch others in order to pay the money into the king's treasury for a greater power and prestige. That money shall be a curse unto them. What is she being investigated for? Mortgage fraud. That money shall be a curse unto them, says the Lord. Woe unto them, says the Lord. Woe unto them. That means cursed. For it would have been better that some were never born, says the Lord. For the public gallows they have erected and the decrees they have attempted through pious judges and generals and the Department of Justice and Law shall be written over in due season, says the Lord. This is February 20th, 2024. They shall be written over. They shall be overridden, overruled, capitals. For I am the highest judge, and the judges who took cases of money and consumed the promises of serpents shall and will suddenly fall, says the Lord. They shall fall into the briars and the thorn bushes of their own making. For they select justice, they do not carry it out as a public servant of the people. New York, says the Lord, same word. Very soon, the debris shall begin to be swept out as a changing of the guard occurs. And those who smugly and pridefully and publicly laugh and scoff and think they have their trophy, pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a big fall. That's capital, says the Lord. They have sowed their fall. They have attempted to give the money into the king's treasury. They have attempted, capitals, to make a name, a fleshly, pompous name for themselves, built on a hill of corruption, bribes, promises of wealth and power. The emails and the texts will be exposed, says the Lord, and the paper trail will lead back to a garland and a secretary, and they shall turn on those in New York and hang them out to dry before the people as they cling to the horns of the altar, attempting to save themselves. Babel, Nimrod, Haman, gallows, make a name for themselves. Pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a big fall. January 16th, 2025, the Delilahs, that spirit that influenced Delilah and Absalom, is set to be judged, and the attorney generals and governors will fall in tandem, for they have attached themselves by a chain gang, and so they shall fall in tandem for what they have done. So, if you see this happening to the attorney generals, look to the governor's seat now. Now that it has started against the attorney generals, now look to the governor's seat, because it's going to be in tandem. Now, if you go back to Genesis 10 with Nimrod, thus he became a mighty hunter, a violent invader of his neighbor's rights and property. That is what these people have done. They have become violent invaders of their neighbors' rights and properties, all to make a name for themselves and try to ascend on high. This is the same construct as Babel in a modern day world. That is what this is. This is what these attorney generals have done. Judges, the Biden administration, and holdouts of Ahab still within the government. Holdouts of Ahab and Jezebel in the government, and those in the occult and covens who parade as churchgoers. Those that wanted to violate the rights. That is what Satan seeks to do day in and day out. Violate the rights of believers that we have through Christ Jesus. We have to come to a point as the church where we say enough is enough, and we start tearing down those altars. We start commanding those babels to come down in the name of Jesus Christ, and we clear it out, because Babel is beginning to fall. Their babels that they've built, their gallows that they've erected, this is a year of reversals. This is a year of Purim. This is why you're seeing this happen now. Now, why we have to do it has to do with Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. So we have Genesis 11, Matthew 11. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. The kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. This is a war. And it's a war that involves ancient entities from the kingdom of darkness that are fighting against the sons of God and the daughters of God, and that are fighting also against the army of the living God. And this is a very real war going on in the realm of the spirit that has consequences in the natural, that you see things happen in the natural that are results of the war that is going on in the realm of the spirit. Now, the spirits of men are so excited and animated by his desire after his kingdom. This is what this means, Matthew 11, 12, that it is, as it were, attacked like a besieged city, men of all sorts pressing to get into it with a violence like that of men who are taking a place by storm. As if he had said, multitudes are flocking around me to be instructed in the nature of my kingdom, and some who were formerly of most licentious character and looked upon as utterly unfit to be subject of the Messiah's kingdom are resolutely set on enjoying the blessings of it. He that has ears, let him hear. He that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. So that's what that means. The kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, speaking of that, speaking of violence, speaking of the persecuting spirit, speaking of the spirit of Antichrist, speaking of the spirit of apartheid, speaking of Babel and the gallows, we're going to go to this now, because this is happening all over the world in very strategic locations right now. So we're going to put this article up for you. And this has to do with something President Trump just did, having to do with South Africa. And there is sobering prophecy attached to this. So Trump administration welcomes 59 white South Africans as refugees. The Trump administration on Monday welcomed a group of 59 white South Africans as refugees, saying they face discrimination and violence at home, which the country's government strongly denies. Isn't that interesting? I'm just going to say that Prophet Kim Clement was South African, and he prophesied Trump's two terms. And now President Trump turns around and he's rescuing South Africans. I don't think that's an accident at all. The decision to admit the Afrikaners also has raised questions from refugee advocates about why they were admitted when the Trump administration has suspended efforts to resettle people fleeing war and persecution who have gone through years of vetting. Many in the group from South Africa, including toddlers and other small children, even one walking barefoot in pajamas, held small American flags as two officials welcomed them to the United States in an airport hangar outside of Washington. Okay. What's going on in South Africa right now, and I'm going to read to you the prophecy having to do with this. The spirit of apartheid is rising again, which has to do with the same spirit that Haman entertained, with the same spirit that Nimrod entertained. It's just in a different area of the world. And farmers, white farmers, are being butchered for their land. White farmers are being hunted and killed for, and their land forcefully taken, okay? Which that is what, well, let's go back up for a minute and I'll go back to this. What Nimrod was, he became a mighty hunter, a violent invader of his neighbor's rights and properties. That same spirit is what is rising right now in South Africa. And I'm going to read to you the words having to do with this. So March 30th, 2024. Watch, says the Lord, as the spirits of persecution, of apartheid, the spirit that seeks to vilify what I, the Lord, have created. Those spirits have gone out like an army into the earth in this hour. You shall overcome, says the Lord, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. South Africa, says the Lord, is about to be overturned. For the ancient attempts to bubble up and destroy my capital children in a time of unrest in the world. This ancient ruler seeks an occasion, says the Lord, to bubble up and over in South Africa again, says the Lord. They shall be dealt with in this hour, says the Lord. January 25th, 2025, South Africa, your day of recompense is upon you, says the Lord, for you have entertained the whisperings of apartheid over and over again, and you have begun to move towards such a temptation, farmers being killed. That spirit has moved to take power in South Africa. That spirit has oppressed, and now, says the Lord, there shall be a decompression of such. February 20th, 2025, Haman, apartheid are the same persecuting spirit designed to appeal to different peoples within the earth. And it is bringing an outcry in this hour. It is bringing blasphemous charges and accusations in this hour. You have in this hour those that want to be mighty hunters, those that wanted to make a name for themselves through persecution, those who erected Babels and gallows, those who by violence invaded their neighbors' territories and took it and thought they would become mighty in spite of God. They are now in this time falling and being scattered. This is the time they're being dealt with. And I'm telling you, the Episcopal Church is in the middle of this. And I'm going to show you, because there's prophecy with this, with South Africa and the Episcopal Church and what's about to happen to the Episcopal Church. Because I believe what's going to happen to the Catholic Church and the Episcopal Church is going to run in tandem. The Episcopal Church is Babel, about to fall in the midst of all this. If you flip, now I'm going to show you something very interesting. If you flip the word Episcopal upside down, I just happened to see this today, you get, if you flip it upside down, the word Babel is in Episcopal. So if you flip that upside down, you happen to find the word Babel within it, which is what they've done. They have totally flipped upside down theology, belief, and are totally running against truly who Almighty God is and what his word stands for, because they have arisen. The Episcopal Church in the middle of this has arisen with a spiteful, mighty hunter before the Lord type of attitude. And I'll tell you, the persecuting spirit that we're dealing with that's gone out, it's a very old, ancient, religious persecuting type of spirit that's rearing its head in the middle of all of this. So I'm going to read to you the word from the Lord first, and we're going to show you the article on this. So April 4th, 2025, for a very old wound is about to be reopened, Capital, says the Lord, in the Catholic Church. In the Episcopal Church, says the Lord, a wound is about to be uncovered, grave in nature, that goes back more than 30 years, says the Lord. And that wound shall be exposed. The side of the church is about to be pierced and opened, says the Lord, including the Vatican, says the Lord, including the Western Church, says the Lord, including the most well-known African ministers who have acted more like witch doctors than holy men of God. So this wound being opened in the Episcopal Church, grave in nature, goes back more than 30 years. So let's put up the article to what's happened. and I'm going to read it from the computer to you. Episcopal Church ends refugee partnership with U.S. government, cites moral opposition to resettling persecuted white Afrikaners from South Africa. So this is what it says. The far-left leadership of the Episcopal Church announced Monday that it is severing its nearly 40-year partnership. How old did the Lord say this wound was? More than 30 years old. That was about to get opened. It's severing its nearly 40-year partnership with the U.S. government to resettle refugees, all because the Trump administration dared to classify white South African Afrikaners as refugees in need of protection. The same Episcopal Church that prided itself, pride, what is the foundation of Babel? Pride. Pride is the foundation that it is built on. Thank you. Prided itself on aiding persecuted people from war-torn regions is now walking away from its commitment simply because the next wave of refugees are white Christian farmers. Nimrod, Babel, Haman, persecuting spirit, spirit of apartheid. It's the same thing. Spirit of Antichrist that was back at Babel, mighty hunter before the Lord, violently took property, overtook people. It's the same thing in different areas of the world operating. So because the next wave of refugees are white Christian farmers, victims of violent racial targeting in post-apartheid South Africa. It's not post-apartheid. Apartheid is trying to come back full circle and rear up that head of its serpent in the middle of all of this. The church claims resettling these families would violate their moral line. They don't have a moral line. They threw that sucker out the window a long time ago when they started wearing rainbows and welcoming the serpent rainbow of the LGBTQ plus XYZ agenda into the pulpit. They don't have a moral line. So this is what it violates Satan's moral line. Let's just be honest about this. Satan does not want to help white Christian people escape persecution because the kingdom of darkness is built on the shedding of blood as well. So they're speaking from a spirit. The words they're speaking, the breath stinks. The source from where it's coming stinks. It violates their moral line because their moral line is not encompassed in the kingdom of God or the word of God. Their moral line is entrenched in a very corrupted kingdom of darkness that is parading as a church. And now this wound that has been opened, more than 30 years old. And what did the Lord call it? Grave in nature. You know why he's calling it grave in nature? Because he says, April 4th, 2025, for a very old wound is about to be reopened, says the Lord, in the Catholic Church, in the Episcopal Church, says the Lord. A wound is about to be uncovered, grave in nature, that goes back more than 30 years, says the Lord. What did they say in that article? 40 years, almost 40 years. And that wound shall be exposed. The side of the church is about to be pierced. The Lord is calling it grave in nature because they are unwilling to help white Christian farmers because the spirit that is influencing the Episcopal Church is not of God. And so this is why the Lord is calling it grave, because they are actually helping the persecuting spirit, the spirit of apartheid, the spirit that influenced Nimrod, the spirit that influenced Haman. The Episcopal Church is now the prostitute. I'm going to say it plainly, the prostitute for that spirit. That's what it is. It is prostituting itself, their funny hats and all, and their rainbow garb for that spirit. They are like a temple prostitute when it came to back in Nineveh and these other places, except it's spiritual harlotry instead, on top of blasphemous behavior. This is what this is. And this is why God is uncovering all this right now. He is actually luring them out now to judge them. He is allowing these things to happen. He's compelling President Trump to do these things because this spirit of persecution of Antichrist that was like Nimrod, that is like Haman, is rising up within the earth. You see it in other areas of the earth, which we're going to get into tomorrow night. But you see these dumpster fires beginning to be started, and the Episcopal Church has chosen to put marshmallows on a stake and go sit in front of that bonfire and basically do nothing but throw garbage out at the people. This is what they've done. And so South Africa, the leadership of South Africa, God has put them on notice that that spirit of apartheid and the leaders that have entertained it is about to be judged. And that is why God is getting his people out of South Africa right now, because of the judgment that's going to fall on it for what they have done. And since the Episcopal Church has chosen to partner with this, well, in this time, the side of the Episcopal Church is going to get pierced. And what is going to come out is going to be so shocking, so horrific. The scandal that will surface and the dross that will come up from what they have done is going to be immense, and they're not going to be able to hide it. So we have to understand that what happened to Babel, this is why we see these things happening today. That spirit wanted, that influenced Nimrod to be a mighty hunter before the Lord, to forcefully take his neighbor's land, to forcefully intimidate and subdue, to do those things. It's at work today. That spirit of lawlessness, that spirit of Antichrist, that spirit that erected Babel, it was built on pride. That's what it was built on. I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. They have gotten so pious, churches like the Episcopal Church, they have gotten so pious, there is no holiness. There is no holiness. The reverence for God isn't there, because if it was, they would be on their face repenting for what they allowed into God's house and made it a spiritual whorehouse. They would be repenting of that if they really meant it. And I mean that for other denominations too. This is why you see the shift, and you see these things happening, and you see these Babels beginning to fall, and you see the attorney generals now, and you see what they've done, and their Babel is coming down, and you see the gallows that they've erected for others now is falling upon them, because it's time. It's the appointed time. We're still in that window between Passover and Pentecost. This is why you see that happening too. So keep that in mind, that we are still in that window between Passover and Pentecost, a fiery, fiery window. This is why you see all this rearing up now. This is why you see more war starting. This is why. So just keep that in mind as we go forth tonight. I am going to announce the new sanctuary residents in a few minutes. I'm going to bring on Andrew Sorcini for a few minutes, who's been listening to all of this. And we're going to talk to him and get his reaction, because he comes on early to listen. So let's bring in Andrew.
Hey. Hello. There. How are you doing?
How are you?
Good, good. A lot about apartheid today.
Yes. Yep. And it's the same spirit, Andrew. It's the persecuting spirit. That's just in a different area of the world.
Absolutely. It's, you know, apartheid actually has a connection with the gold coin market as well.
Oh, well, let's hear, Andrew. See, this ties right in.
Yeah, it's from, so apartheid supposedly happened the first time around from 1948 to 1994. And in 1967, South Africa came out with a 1 ounce gold Krugerrand coin. And this was bullion. It actually said 1 ounce of 0.999 gold on it. And no other countries had a bullion coin like that. You could only have like 100 ounce bars of silver, yeah, 1 ounce bars of gold, maybe kilo bars. And it was considered to be a symbol of South African wealth. And as there started to be pushback internationally, many countries actually made it illegal for you to own a Krugerrand, including the United States in 1985.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know what? You said something interesting too, Andrew. that I caught. You said it started in 1948, apartheid. What else happened in 1948 why the persecuting spirit would arise in the earth? Israel was created as a nation, meaning like Israel, that area of land was given to Israel. So isn't that interesting? The year that happens with Israel, that's when apartheid would rise.
That's very interesting. And then another thing is that since the Krugerrands were banned in United States in 1985, just out of pure luck, the following year, the United States came out with the American Eagle gold and silver bullion coins. Mm-hmm. Prior to then, there really weren't many bullion coins. China had them, which usually we don't trust the China metals because we can't really guarantee the actual content. But it's just very interesting because they never really want us to own gold. So they were able to make it so that we couldn't legally own gold bullion if it was linked to apartheid through South Africa. So we created our own the following year. And it seems like the United States from that point controlled what gold you can buy.
So now what is going on recently, Andrew?
Well, right now it's kind of a tricky time because with everything that's happened with the tariffs, it's made people feel very confident. Like we voted for Trump. Trump's done, he's done a lot of things that are really, really great, probably more than any president in such a short amount of time. But there have been some things that have left us scratching our heads, mm-hmm. which now it's starting to make sense.
Yeah.
Like the aggressive move on the tariffs. We trusted and we believed in him and we had faith. Mm-hmm. And now we can see the results of it. And what we're seeing here with what's happened in the Middle East, it's actually amazing because I remember in December 6th and December 7th of 2023, Putin made the same trip to the same places in the Middle East. And
interesting.
Yeah. And people can look it up. They rolled out the red carpet for him. And I just remember looking at Putin and watching how he walked, his posture, how his chest was out and how strong he looked. And then I look at our president at the time, which was Biden. And I'm like, why can't we have a strong president like that, that the rest of the world wants to fall behind? And here we are. I mean, it's a year and a half later and we have that. And it looks like no solid deals were made back in December of 2023, because it looks like Trump really has things under control. And I think he's going to follow up on his promise that we actually are in the golden era of America.
You know, I'm watching Trump in Saudi Arabia because it has an air to me of Isaac and Ishmael coming together. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's got that air to me, and you can't fully trust Ishmael because Ishmael wants to be heir. So I'm not saying that nothing good will come out of this. I'm saying from a prophetic standpoint, I'm watching this.
Yeah, closely. Absolutely. And I really feel that, you know, we've talked about BRICS, and that's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and a whole slew of other nations that where their goal is to de-dollarize the globe and replace our fiat currencies with a gold-backed central bank digital currency. And for the last couple of years, we've been saying things like, I'm sure our next president, if it's Donald Trump, that he will one-up them with something great. And I really feel that he's out there doing this. So we've seen a lot of people sell gold and silver to get back into stocks and get back into
Oh, this is a good question here, Andrew, while you're talking. I found something. Yeah. You could speak to this.
Yeah. So
Jing says, from what I understand, the U.S. has secretly joined BRICS.
I mean, to me, it's... who knows? Maybe we've taken it over. You know, it's I feel that we've actually won up them. I mean, to her point, okay, Saudi Arabia ended a 50-year deal with us, with the United States on June 9th of last year. And that's the deal for the petrodollar. That's where a certain percentage of transactions internationally for oil would be completed with the payments in the US dollar. Mm-hmm. And that ended on June 9th. Then all of a sudden, Russia and some of the and BRICS nations are getting very close with Saudi Arabia. And it was really clear that they're moving away from us.
Yeah.
And here they are, from the looks of things, I think we're pretty tight with them right now. So what's changed? I think that they respect that we've got a real leader here. Mm-hmm. And I do think that no matter what, we are going to a gold-backed digital currency. We definitely are. How we spend money and the way we transact with it is going to change forever. And I think we're heading that way.
I'm going to say this in typical Italian fashion. I think President Trump made them an offer they couldn't refuse.
Absolutely.
Made them an offer you can't refuse. That's what I think partially was going on there. But I'm watching it closely because it does have the air of Isaac and Ishmael to me. I see it in other areas of the world too right now going on. But it's this is going to be fascinating because I have prophecy about the Saudi royal family that I've put out from the Lord. So this is going to be interesting to watch how this unfolds.
It will. And I would just urge to the people that are listening that as good as this feels and as victorious as it feels and as strong as we feel and as Americans and as patriotic as we feel, the turbulent part or chaotic part that we're going through, it's not over. It's going to be a lot of work. So this isn't a good time to go out and buy Bitcoin for $105,000 for one Bitcoin. Finally now stocks like NVIDIA are profitable on the year. The Magnificent Seven stocks, which include some of the biggest companies we know, like NVIDIA, Google, Facebook, and Tesla, there's like three others, they're all reaching their all-time highs. And this isn't the time to pour into the stock market heavy. It's time to still be cautious. We do have a lot of people reaching out to roll over their 401ks and IRAs and get them into gold. And I think that's really smart. Because
if you do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should.
People do that, right, Andrew? If people want their IRAs rolled over into gold.
Yes, we get them done in usually 7 to 10 days. It's not a taxable event. So it's not like you're taking a distribution out of your retirement account and that you have to pay taxes on it. It's a rollover. So you're able to do that without it being taxable, but it's just right now being able to protect yourself and do it with gold, which is like almost doubled in price for 1 ounce in the last 4 years since we've been working together, spreading the word about precious metals to people. It's like almost doubled and everything that we've said has happened. It's a good hedge against inflation. It's portfolio insurance. And it's a tangible asset. It's portable wealth that you can hold in your hands.
Well, Andrew, we have your information up here for people to text, right? For them to email. They could go to bh-pm.com. Andrew and his team love to hear from our Ark of Grace family. They love it when you call. Andrew tells me privately also that the lovely conversations he has with many of you. So please give them a call.
Yep, we appreciate it. I love the texts and emails most because they're as detailed as can be. And I can figure out what part of my department and which associates might be best to help you out. So definitely reach out because our response time is very, very quick. And we're able to offer silver for very, very low premiums. And we're shipping it very quickly.
Perfect. Yep, there's from my church. Hi, Andrew. Blessings from Texas.
Thank you so much. I love it out there in Texas. Okay.
Well, Andrew, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. Please reach out to Andrew and we'll see you in a couple of weeks, Andrew.
See you soon. Thank you.
God bless. Okay. Now, the moment many of you have been waiting for, we had to have Andrew on first, but we're announcing the newest residents at Ark of Grace Sanctuary. You've all been putting your guesses in the chat. We had two new residents come today. I filmed it all. Our team is putting it together so you can watch the whole journey from start to finish. So, drum roll, please. We're going to put it up. The two newest residents at Ark of Grace Sanctuary. There's Cleo with Emma. Those are Emma's legs, our sanctuary manager. And there's Gip, who we're going to name, I think, Gibson. So these are the two newest residents who came to Ark of Grace Sanctuary today, Gibson and Cleo. They do need Weight Watchers. I'm not even going to try to sugarcoat this in any way. Gibson and Cleo, the person who had them, this very sweet older lady, she desperately had to have surgery and she was no longer going to be able to take care of them. They reached out to us. This has been a month in the making. God is sending them in pairs. So if he asks me to build an ark next, I'm done. Because he is sending the animals in pairs now. Two doves, four sheep, two pigs. There is something happening here. So I will let you know if I hear the voice of Almighty God telling me now to build an ark, because we kind of are building an ark. It's just in a different way. But yep, Cleo and Gibson, our newest residents of Ark of Grace Sanctuary, will be putting the video out soon where you will see their journey start to finish. But the Lord did send two pigs. So it's interesting because when Noble passed, the Lord sent two in his place. And I noticed the Lord does that. When Moses passed, the Lord sent five sheep in his place. So I noticed that the Lord tends to do these things. And so Cleo and Gibson will sometime in the future be meeting Poppy. And we're praying now that they all get along. So right now they're in their own pen. We have been expanding the sanctuary for everybody that has been a blessing to us. I so appreciate it because we have been expanding the sanctuary more and more to take in new residents from Ark of Grace. Hi, Boots. Oh, it's Boots. Hold on. Let's see. Oh, there's Boots. Boots never comes in here. There's Boots and Esther. You're seeing a very rare shot of Boots here at, oh, look at them. They're kissing. How cute. She's liable to slap him. Let me tell you, she is a feisty little girl, Esther. So Boots, please be careful. Okay. So wanted to show you that. So yep. Welcome Gibson and Cleo to Ark of Grace Sanctuary. Also New Jersey. I'm going to be in New Jersey next week. I believe it's the 20th. And the 21st at Mantle of Power Ministries. So there is the address. So I'm going to be there two nights. So you could go to arcofgrace.org/events to learn more. We're looking very forward to coming back to New Jersey. And lastly, the Revelationary War is out. We are getting amazing reviews. All glory be to God on this book. And so if you haven't bought it yet, it is available everywhere big books are sold. It is on Amazon right now, Barnes and Nobles. It's on the Charisma House books where they sell books at Charisma Media. It's on there as well. And so I'm just grateful to everyone that has bought it so far. It talks about the nation. I wrote this book way before Trump was president. And so this book is a prophetic look at what has gone on over the decades in this nation and where we are going as a nation. So you can look it up on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, and Charisma House. Yes, please like and subscribe. We very much appreciate it. And I think this is where we're going to end for tonight, as Esther has just jumped on the desk and now she's behind the computer. So thank you everyone for joining us tonight. We are going to be back on tomorrow, I believe. So look for the announcement. We're going to be back on live tomorrow night to do a deep dive into this further and discuss some other things prophetically that are going on. So God bless everyone. Keep the faith. Welcome Gibson and Cleo. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day because the word of God is living and active and current for every generation. You have to speak it. It is meant to be spoken. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We're supposed to meditate on it. We're supposed to speak it. Also, from the Believer's Authority by Kenneth Hagin, there's Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. They're in the first few pages of his book, The Believer's Authority. There it is, Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19. I say those scriptures every single day as well as the Lord's Prayer because Jesus himself taught his disciples to pray that way. That was straight from heaven, that prayer. That was straight from the intelligence of heaven and the throne room of God, that prayer. And so we should be incorporating it into our prayer life. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We got through it. All glory be to God. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Have a wonderful rest of your evening, and we will see you back on tomorrow. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rafa for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew. So it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural. And I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts, go to bh-pm.com today. And Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. Hey everybody, Amanda Grace here. Many of you have been curious and have asked about what skincare products I use. In fact, we have had many emails come in about this, so I am happy to be able to now share this with you. This is Givaderm. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Wonderful skincare line owned and operated by believers. I love that these products are nourishing. They are free of chemicals and they are safe for not only me, but also the animals. And as you know, we have many of them running around here at the Ark. So I don't have to worry if any of them were to accidentally get into them. What goes on our skin goes into our bodies. So it's important to put on our skin what nourishes and heals. Kind of like what we should put in our soul, what nourishes and heals it, which is the word. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put on them and in them. My favorite products are Uplift and the eye cream, which I have right here. However, I use their entire line. It is amazing and it is very effective. So if you'd like to learn more or contact Givaderm, go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and you can use promo code ARK10 for a 10% discount.